Good morning. This is Joel Hodson, creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. See you in the future.
Much scrolling for June 11th, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflow. It's nighttime, Steve. In the daytime.
Nighttime in the daytime. Is that the name of your third album?
Something like that.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information, especially now that it's the summertime. It is officially, on so many levels, summertime at this point now, Chip.
Did you say officially summertime, Steve?
Yes, the official, the groundhog of summer has arrived. Weird Al's summer tour has kicked off, and he is crossing the country giving us music with a full string orchestra, my friend.
And will you be going to see? Are you going to be seeing him at Ravinia?
I don't have tickets to Ravinia here in Chicago. I do have tickets to the Peoria, Illinois presentation because my mother-in-law was nice enough to give them to me for Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Christmas in June.
So summertime is important to know that it's Father's Day this Sunday.
Well, summertime.
And the living is easy.
Well, I guess it starts June 21st, but as officially, I guess we could start it early, Steve, because Father's Day is coming up.
I declare summertime started, regardless of your meteorological reasonings for why it shouldn't be yet.
Well, some of us enjoy spring, especially here in the Midwest. Now, if you were down in the South, where they're having 100-degree day after 100-degree day,
yeah,
that's a little different. But up here, we seem to be, it's been cool.
Yeah.
It's like air conditioning outside many days.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. All right, so here's the thing. Because it's summer and I have nothing better to do, I've watched a lot of movies, and you have watched a lot of movies. So how fast can we get through this list of things that we've seen this week?
Well, we're going to get through a whole bunch of them because only a few of them are worth like really going to see.
Okay, so let's start with Dark Phoenix, the latest X-Men movie that you saw, and I probably never will.
Well, I saw it opening night, Steve,
mm-hmm.
And this has a wonderful cast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the final of the Fox X-Men films, assuming that New Mutants is just shelved completely. They keep pushing it off. And if it's anything like Dark Phoenix, they should just keep pushing it off, because Dark Phoenix was certainly a sort of a disappointment. I would say that they've got this wonderful cast. They've got this, you know, you got this wonderful story you're going to be telling. The Dark Phoenix saga, the mm-hmm. Phoenix saga is one of the great comic events. And back in the, I guess, late 70s, early 80s,
mm-hmm.
the X-Men comic, which this is based on, this was one of the pinnacle comics, along with a number of Days of Future Past and things of that nature. Kind of after the Marvel era was over with Stan Lee and with Jack Kirby, the fans of that started writing the comics. They took over these characters, they expanded and they refined them. And so because of their popularity, we've had this nice run of X-Men. X-Men was the highest selling comic for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to this final movie,
yeah,
under Fox, and it's so sad that you've put together this beautiful cast, you've got this great material you're going to be pulling from, and the writing and the directing just seems to not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's a terrible thing. I'll say 40 out of 100. You know, go see it if you really want to see it. And for many people, if you're a young person, you may want to see it, but no, this is not good.
So you would put it on a skip it list if we're going to do this really quick.
I would say skip it.
All right. So you went to see Godzilla King of the Monsters, which surprises the heck out of me that you went to go see this movie and I haven't.
Well, I went to see this movie because you posted on through our Facebook feed that it was the top selling grossing film of the week.
Yeah.
And it was like this great big deal.
Yeah.
And I'll put it in perspective. They're expecting Dark Phoenix to open up around 160 million.
Uh-huh.
Godzilla opened up at 50 million,
which is way below.
So this is a totally different sort of ratcheting down of expectations.
Uh-huh.
It beat out Rocket Man, which we'll talk about in a second.
Uh-huh.
Godzilla has the same problem that that Dark Phoenix has: leaps of logic, crazy, weird stuff. But here's the difference: Godzilla is meant to be campy.
Precisely,
it's meant to be campy.
Yes.
Dark Phoenix is made for riff tracks. This is, it is what it is. We go to Atlantis. We learn where, I guess, Godzilla lives. And then he fights a whole bunch of monsters. It's not particularly good. And humans, I guess, are the blight of the world, Steve,
but
as we learn.
Those of us who love kaiju films will love this movie. All of the people that I've talked to that have seen this movie who love these kinds of movies love this movie.
Well, and they should. The monsters, when they're fighting, uh-huh. It's fun. And what it is what it is. I say 40 of 100 again.
All right. I will see that one before the week is over. You got to see the biopic of Elton John called Rocket Man.
Well, this isn't a biopic. And in fact, it's very important to recognize that. Elton John produced this. This is sort of a dream of his a biography.
Nice.
So this is not necessarily a true story. This is a story about Elton John. He shows up at the beginning of the film, our character, and he's in his therapy session, and he's recounting his life. Ultimately, he was an unloved person. His parents were both just mean to him in a terrible way.
An entertainer who had a dark childhood? This has never been done in the history of entertainment.
In fact, the best time of his life was when he met Bernie Taupin, his writing partner, the gentleman who wrote the lyrics. Elton John was an extraordinary piano player very early at age, was noticed, and ultimately built a career. Ultimately, it ends, and not to give away everything, but he is at his therapy session, and he hugs his younger self, the little boy. And the point about that is he had to come to terms with his past, that he is an adult, that he can go forward. And even though the past may have defined who he is at this point, going forward, he has that ability to define his life. I like this film a whole bunch. I said it 65 out of 100. We're doing okay there.
All right. Then you got to see the 1959 classic, The Anatomy of a Murder. This is a Jimmy Stewart movie.
That stars Stephen Stewart.
There's a big rabbit. It smells like whiskey.
Yeah, Steve.
No, that's somebody else. You killed my brother.
I do. I saw this because Nerdwriter, which if you every once in a while I'll post one of his YouTube essays is what I would call them.
Okay.
He talked about what a great film this is. And I had recognized at that time, I had not seen this film. And so, yes, I went online and I rented it. I think I rented it from Amazon.
Okay.
And I watched
Amazon.
It.
Amazon.TooMuchScrolling.com.
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway.
Doubtful.
You can... Many people do, Steve.
Many people do.
Anyway, this is a really good film. And there's a reason why you would want to watch this film, which takes place in a courtroom, which is two people. Basically, they're being accused of something, and you're going through the process of their court. The attorneys are basically trying to protect their clients. There is a protocol that goes on there. This is a worthy movie of your time. In fact, you could watch this and 12 Angry Men.
Oh, I love that one.
And Paper Chase, and you've got yourself a nice little trilogy on the law taking place in Paper Chase is the first year at law school learning to think of like a lawyer, but 12 Angry Men is basically the play of a person going in and being deliberated whether this person's guilty, and we have 11 people who are saying he's guilty and one says not guilty. By the time the play's over, there's only one guy holding out. One guy holding out.
I love that story. That is one of my favorites.
But Anatomy of a Murder is worthy of your time. It's absolutely on that same level and worthy of sitting down and going through I guess I could throw a fourth in there. My cousin Vinny, Steve.
There you go.
Utes.
Excellent. The chip law review.
For the summer, Steve. For the summer, Steve.
I'm just a caveman. But here in the courtroom, let me explain something. I got to see some movies as well. You and I both got to see at least part of the Good Omens series on Amazon Prime.
And you finished this, right?
I finished it. I devoured this because I loved every minute of it.
Now, I started it, but I went back. I'm watching American Gods yet, still. So I haven't finished American Gods and I haven't finished Good Omens. But so far, what I've seen of Good Omens is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Good Omens.
I really, this is one of those times that I really am going to put this on a shelf and say, this is a production that is better than the book.
Okay.
I love Good Omens, the book. Terry Pratchett is one of my favorite authors of all time. Neil Gaiman is one of my favorite authors of all time. The synergy between the two of them to make Good Omens the two-sided beast that it is wonderful. Neil Gaiman went into this production of this television version of that story with the ghost of Terry Pratchett standing over his shoulder, and he dedicated himself to making this the best production he could make it, and he succeeded. I love this.
And I'll say this, Neil Gaiman certainly is very hot right now. With American Gods, after the first season, the production team was let go, and they had all sorts of challenges. He was very busy being part of making sure that second season happened. And then he comes along and he's doing this the same time. So these are two high quality programs. And for those of you who don't remember, and we're not listening when we reviewed the book, this is about two angels. One's the good one and one's not so good.
One fallen angel and one angel in good standing who are living their lives on Earth and preparing for the Armageddon, the end of the Earth here in this story. And the decisions that they make affect everybody and affect the path of how the Antichrist who has come to Earth is going to be able to destroy the Earth.
Switch to birth, Steve. Switch to birth.
Did you love that scene with the nuns. That was I read an article that was one of the scenes that Neil Gaiman really thinks would have been Terry Pratchett's favorite scene. The way that they played that scene was so Terry Pratchett. The humor in this is wonderful. This is a show absolutely that's made for Doctor Who fans.
Well, in fact, when does the TARDIS show up, Steve?
First episode, episode one, the license plate of the father that is the father that brings home the Antichrist says Sid Rat on it. That is...
I got that, of course, Steve.
TARDIS backwards.
Well, of course.
How
would I miss that?
Very first episode.
And of course, there's plenty of connections to Doctor Who throughout this entire series.
Correct. David Tennant, who was the 10th Doctor, is very much playing a character who is very similar to his 10th Doctor character here. Mm-hmm. This television show is made for us Doctor Who fans.
So far, I recommend this. You?
Oh, absolutely. I think that I recommend this over reading the book again. I think this is really good television.
And you can watch this on Amazon, their streaming app. Awesome. On Netflix, there's Rim of the World. We reviewed that also, Steve. This is throwback to the 80s.
Yes, this is, in my opinion, a movie where they were trying to capitalize on all that Stranger Things love. Stranger Things is such a great series on Netflix, both season one and season two, and hopefully when we get to season three, we will see some wonderful television. They, I think, were trying to capitalize on that and make a 1980s Goonies-style adventure about kids going to adventure camp and then there's aliens that are attacking the world and they have to save the Earth.
Well, I'm going to just cut to the chase. It's okay. Yeah. Certainly not great. I say 50 out of 100.
I really wish that they had taken my advice on this one. When we watched the trailer, I said, well, maybe what we're looking at is they go to adventure camp and then they have an adventure and that is the adventure of adventure camp. And at the end they go, you've succeeded in the adventure. You've saved the earth. Because that's really the problem with this movie was they didn't do that. And they didn't have a real strong adventure that I was worried about these characters. Every scene, I was like, they're just going through the motions.
Well, it's a summer camp story that something happens and all of a sudden the adventure starts.
And then it's like a video game is happening. And it's a no-stakes adventure where they are finding the key, literally. They are getting the key to where it needs to go, literally.
On their bikes, Steve.
On their bikes. And it's all too simple. It's all too easy. I think that it would have been saved by, this is an adventure that we put you through. You're welcome. Come back next year for Adventure Camp Part 2.
I don't disagree. Steve, that sounds like you put together a new movie, and we'll start production on that shortly.
Excellent.
Steve, you got to catch up with a whole bunch of movies.
I did. I was on Tell an us airplane. About that. I was on an airplane on the way to Phoenix, and I watched the Good Omens series on the way to Phoenix. On the way back, I was able to watch Bohemian Rhapsody. This is the biopic of the legendary band Queen.
Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia.
Yes.
So we reviewed this last year, but for you, tell us about it.
I enjoyed this very much. I look forward to watching the Rocket Man Elton John movie. This was a really great movie about a lot of great characters. I didn't know much about Queen before I watched this movie. I knew Freddie Mercury. I knew a little bit about his story, but boy, did I get the characters, the people in this story, and I understand them a lot better as a result of seeing this. I think that this one is a go-see.
So I guaranteed to blow your mind. All right. So, Steve, you also got to see Aladdin.
Yes, and boy, am I still being flamed on the internet for enjoying this movie. The CF3 podcast keeps talking about how I like Aladdin. Guess what, boys? I really enjoyed this movie. I love Will Smith, and Will Smith as the genie is wonderful. He is not Robin Williams. He's Will Smith, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
And I think that this is where it would show up on Broadway, is whoever the star is who's going to play the genie creates the genie that is their character.
That's right.
We like Will Smith. We like Robin Williams. Uh-huh. And we'd like anyone else who ends up playing the genie going forward.
The guy who's on Broadway currently is really well positioned to be the genie. Everybody has really given him high ratings for his work on Broadway.
So we have this musical, Broadway type musical, basically as a movie. And I agree with you. This was a pretty good film.
This is my favorite of the Disney live action adaptations. Well, I like this better than all of the others.
You can turn blue.
Maybe it's because of the music.
Could be.
I got a chance to go out to the theater on Thursday and see the latest Riff Tracks movie, Star Raiders. If you didn't go out on Thursday to see it, you should make plans tonight. It's replaying tonight in your local theater, and you should go see this movie.
All right, so tell me a little bit about this movie, Star Raiders. This isn't a blast from the past, though, is it, Steve?
No, that was my favorite riff in the whole thing. One of the guys says, wow, the graphics in this are really not all that bad for 1992. And Kevin Murphy turns to him and goes, this movie was made 18 months ago. This is a brand new movie that is ripe for riffing. And boy, did the boys do, in my opinion, the best riff that I've heard in years from the Riff Tracks guys.
Well, tell me a little bit about Star Raiders. Was it originally made as a camp film? Was it made to be riffed?
No, but it certainly is a low-budget adventure movie. All the choreography for all the fight scenes are really poorly done. All of the special effects are really poorly done for 2019. And this movie was not intended to be silly, but it is very silly in a lot of ways.
Well, perfect for riffing. It looks like they did a great job. You can see it again tonight on Fathom Events. Just check your, I guess, app?
Yeah, go to fathomevents.com or check your local theater and make sure that you see all of us who are in the theater, all of our community of riffers and MST3K fans who are there, including one of our own who we unfortunately lost this week, but she's on screen waving from the audience during this movie, and we all mourn the loss of Karen from Denver. She'll always be with us because she's on film watching this movie with us forever.
For posterity.
All
right, Steve, we got movies coming out.
Opening this week, maybe there's some good movies. Men in Black International is opening this week. I am a big fan of the Men in Black series. All of the iterations of Men in Black are great stories about alien hunters. I look forward to this one.
Well, for those of us who've always wanted a movie with Nanny McPhee and Thor, it looks like we got it, Steve.
And Liam Neeson.
Well, he's got a certain set of skills, Steve.
That's right. I look forward to Men in Black International, but I look forward even more to the remake of Shaft that's coming out this week.
Shaft?
Damn right.
He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
I love this.
It's the best theme song ever. That might be the best movie theme song ever.
Well, of course, it was sung by Chef from South Park.
Right. Isaac Hayes, who
sorry, settle down, children.
Who thought that he was going to be the star of this movie. He was writing this song intending to be the star of Chef.
Was he?
Yes, sir. And when Richard Roundtree got the part instead, he was pretty upset about it. And he went on to do great things. Like you said, the Chef on South Park. But that theme song is one of my favorite movie theme songs of all time.
Well, we've got the original Shaft.
Yes.
Here.
Richard Roundtree is in this movie.
And Samuel Jackson, Steve.
As Shaft Jr. And they have then the next generation Shaft, Jesse T. Usher, is Shaft the Third in this movie.
This looks like so much fun.
Oh, the trailer is wonderful. If you haven't looked at this trailer, you should really go and click on this trailer. It's got the music. It's got all the right beats. I really think this is going to be a good movie. On the other hand, there is a movie called The Dead Don't Die.
This is a zombie film, and it's got all the tropes that I think I would love.
Uh-huh. It stars Bill Murray and Adam Driver, two superstars who I love watching their work, and it's a zombie comedy. Uh-huh.
Steve, I saw that guy from Caddyshack in this. And I also saw Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren and the guy from Caddyshack are together at last.
Well, who wouldn't want to see that?
Right. The reviews have been awful. The reviews have been brutal. The worst one
that's just the man trying to keep you down, Steve.
That might be true. There's always a grain of salt that I take with people who are reviewing movies. But the worst review I saw, the writer said, it's like the writers of this movie have never heard of a zombie comedy before. They've never seen Zombieland or Shaun of the Dead, and they think that this is new territory. And it seems that most of the critics have been bored by this movie.
Steve, we also have one about an American woman.
Yeah, there is a movie called American Woman. This is about a young lady who goes missing, and her mother is trying to find her, desperately trying to find her while raising her grandson, the missing woman's son. This is a real tearjerker. There's a very strange movie called The Last Black Man in San Francisco coming out this week. This
certainly seems like a little avant-garde, a little esoteric.
A little bit weird, yes.
I don't know, Steve. I think that maybe we should get the lava lamp and maybe some incense and go see this film.
I don't think it was that groovy, but there's some weirdness going on in this one. Go look at the trailer on that.
Listen,
one.
Listen, put some flowers in your hair, Steve.
There you go. If you like Jim Gaffigan, I got a movie for you. Jim Gaffigan is the star of a movie called Being Frank this week, and you think, oh, this is going to be a hilarious comedy.
It's about Father's Day, Steve.
This is your Father's Day pick of the week. Jim Gaffigan, America's current dad, right? That's one of his personas, is he's a dad and he's got kids and he's got minivan commercials.
He's a dad in this film, Steve.
Right, he's a dad in this film. And then the twist arrives where his son finds out that not only is he a dad, he's got a second family full of kids as well. And
he just decides to show up.
Uh-huh.
And hilarity.
Yeah, well, hilarity. Really, really heart-wrenching hilarity. I think that's one of the reviews that I read, was it goes from sad to hilarious in just a flip of the switch.
There's something there, and it does look like it would be interesting in a fun way.
Yep. Diane Keaton is starring in a movie called Hampstead. This is an American widow who finds unexpected love in the UK.
Well, that's because she wants the accent, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. I look forward to that one. I think that one looks okay. But on TV, there's one more thing, Chip. There's the Summer Fun and Games on ABC. Starting tomorrow, I am going to be watching the reboot of Press Your Luck with Elizabeth Banks as the host.
Well, there you go. Press Your Luck, if you don't remember, had the whammy.
That's right. That's the game show where you had the button and you had to stop and try to collect the prizes without avoiding the noid.
Well, that's a different one. But there was the gentleman who ended up winning so much because he learned the pattern.
That's right.
And
so there's a documentary about that you can find too. But I look forward to the reboot of Press Your Luck. I have been having so much fun with all the reboots of all the game shows on ABC. The Family Feud has been fun. The Card Sharks is coming as well. And To Tell the Truth.
Well, you know what? It seems summertime, light stuff seems to be the place to go.
I love it. I'll be there.
Book it, book it, book it. Book it, book it, book it. Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know, I'm a school teacher, Chip. Have I mentioned that in the last 5 years?
You've mentioned it a few times, Steve. Let's see. This is our summer read for teens.
I would say for young teens. Maybe my kids who are entering sixth grade. Maybe my kids who are entering seventh grade. The book that I read with my seventh grader is called Surviving Minimized. This is by Andrea White, and it was published last year. I do recommend that students keep reading during the summer. And a story that might...
Wait a minute. Let me get this right.
Uh-huh.
We should probably quote that.
Uh-huh.
Because a teacher says that we should read?
A teacher who has a podcast that we cover a book every week? Yes. Yes. I think, kids, you should be reading this summer. This is one of the titles that I really recommend. This was a fun book. The story here is the idea of a super virus, a super pox that is attacking all of the people of a near future in the year 2083.
Isn't there a vaccine for that, Steve?
And they can't make the vaccine fast enough to help all the people who are getting sick. This superpox is affecting people very quickly, and people are dying within 24 hours of getting this virus. So there's not enough time to make a vaccine for everybody. So a crazy scientist...
From Good Will Hunting, right?
Maybe from Good Will Hunting.
Possibly.
Possibly.
He could probably be the janitor. You don't know, Steve. You don't know.
A scientist has decided that the best solution to this problem is to shrink people down to the size of a mushroom so that the virus can't enter their body. They would be too small. The virus would be too big, and it would not affect them any longer.
But what if Kristen Wiig decides not to go through with it, Steve?
This is not the movie Downsizing with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Poor Matt Damon. This is not that movie. This is not an adult story. This is definitely a story meant for my students, the 11, 12, 13-year-olds. But this is a great adventure.
And Ben Affleck's of the world.
I'm sure Ben Affleck is in this somewhere. He's just very small. He's not Batman. That's all I know. This is a great adventure learning about
Martha.
Why did you say that name? This is a great adventure finding out about who you are and learning to live in a new place. A lot of kids have that transitional time where they have to move to a new city. They have to go and find new friends. They have to leave their old friends behind and figure out who they are in this new situation. That's exactly what the main character here does. He comes with this idea of what life is. And when you've shrunk to a different size, the world is a different place, and he has to learn how to live with the people of this community and how to work together to survive. This is a beautiful book. I really suggest this, especially if you're, you know, in the 11 to 13 year old range and you're coming to middle school.
Totally our demographic.
Well, As it turns out, a lot of people who are listening to this right now are in that demographic. So hi, kids.
Use some sunscreen.
Use some sunscreen. Read a book. I'll see you in August.
Scroll with it.
There's some things that have been happening on the calendar the last few weeks since I've been in Phoenix. You know, summertime and living is easy.
Steve, it looks like iTunes is going away.
I know. I'll have to change the way I close the show. I'll have to say something other than iTunes at the end of the show.
Well, officially they call it Apple Podcasts, but we still call it iTunes, as most people do, and Google has the same issue. But anyway, they're going to be splitting up iTunes. iTunes is a big bloated piece of software. Mm-hmm. Looks like Apple's going to be splitting it up. You'll have your movies in one place, you'll have your music in one place, and your podcast in the two-month scrolling app, right?
Yeah. We can make an app. We can do that. But yes, there will be a podcast app and a music app and the Apple TV app instead of one central location.
Sure.
That seems to be the way of things right now. It seems like there's a rotation. You go centralized, everything together, and then you go, nah, let's all split it all up. And then they come back together later.
It got really unruly. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm assuming there's going to have to be a book app too. Because they do have the bookstore that does compete with Kindle.
Right. There is that. They didn't mention that. That's been separate from iTunes for a while, though. The iBooks app has been a separate app for a long while.
I'm looking at my MacBook, and they're there.
Okay, there you go. Also, they did come out with the Mac Pro that looks like a cheese grater. So if you've got $6,000 sitting around, you can pick up a really professional MacBook. All the professionals that are making real movies were really excited by the presentation that we were given last week.
Well, it seems like they'll be able to do some upgrades if they need to.
Yep. The Mystery Science Theater 3000 live tour was announced 10 days ago, and boy, I am super excited to go to see the live tour of Mystery Science Theater again.
And you went last year in Chicago. Uh-huh. This year, there isn't a Chicago one announced yet.
Not yet. Joel says that he's going to add cities every day, but as of this moment, there is no Chicago presentation for Mystery Science Theater, so I'm either going to have to take a couple of days off of school and go hang out with our executive producer, JD, in Indianapolis on October 3rd, or I'm going to have to head up to Milwaukee on November 2nd to catch...
Milwaukee, Steve. Milwaukee.
Yes.
As I learned from Alice Cooper on that documentary, Wayne's World.
Before it was a riff on Mystery Science Theater 3000, I think they were riffing on Wayne's World in parts of the Clonus Horror when they said, Milwaukee. I look forward to this. This is Joel's final tour. So if you haven't met Joel yet, first of all, you really need to meet Joel. He is as nice can be. You need to go thank him. The Mystery Science Theater 3000 live tour is coming to a city near you. Go to mst3klive.com for more information.
And if you're not going up to Milwaukee for Summerfest at some point this summer, are you going up to Milwaukee sometime later on this month, Steve?
I am. I am going to head up to the Wisconsin Comic Con June 28th through 30th in Milwaukee, and I'm going to go shake some hands and meet some people. I hope to see everybody there, and they've got some interesting guests coming.
Well, Laverne is not showing up, Steve.
Because that was in Milwaukee. Laverne and Shirley was in Milwaukee. But Michael
So is Happy Days, Steve.
But Michael McKean was in Good Omens. So there's a little bit... How far behind are we at this point? Yes, I'm going to go meet some people. The headliner for the Wisconsin Comic Con is Nichelle Nichols. Lieutenant Uhura from Star Trek is going to be there. She's not feeling well. I hope that she is going to be able to be a part of this Comic Con. I would really like to see her again. I met her in the 90s at a convention,
okay.
A Star Trek convention, and I would really like to see her one more time. She's really not doing well, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that. Samwise will be there, though, Steve. Or Rudy, either one.
Yeah, that's right. Sean Astin, son of John Astin from the Addams Family, is going to be in town. I look forward to talking to him again. Here's my interesting Sean Astin story. We got a good morning from Sean Astin about 2 years ago, and my son deleted it. So I'm going to ask him for another good morning for too much scrolling. Ray Park, the guy who was...
Both pieces of him, Steve?
Both halves of Ray Park are going to be in
Milwaukee. Will he be singing Ghostbusters too?
That's Ray Parker Jr. That's a different guy. He's going to be there. Adam Baldwin, who, in my opinion, is the most handsome of the Baldwin brothers. He is the guy who was in the TV show Chuck. You don't watch TV, so you're looking at me. But Adam Baldwin's going to be in town.
You say I don't watch television, yet I was sitting there showing you Creed Bratton.
Creed Bratton is coming into town. Tell me all about Creed Bratton that you haven't told me in the last 20 minutes.
For our young listeners who are watching The Office because they've only watched it 3 or 4 times,
okay,
they know who Creed Bratton is. Nothing else needs to be said, Steve.
He plays a character named Creed Bratton in the show. So,
who's got a number of things going on. He's always a background bit player, but he is a very interesting character, okay. as all The Office characters are.
And some of our older listeners might recognize Creed Bratton because he was a part of
The Grassroots,
the band in the 60s?
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Well, we all know who Creed Bratton is now. And there you can join us up in the Beer City, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I will have to bring some growlers with me.
Exactly.
You can
get a Schlitz or an Old Milwaukee or a Pabst.
Oh, now I'm getting thirsty.
We got to finish the show so we can go brew some beer, Steve.
So, yeah, we really need to wrap this up is really what it comes down to. We will be up in Wisconsin at least once, if not twice, in the next couple of months. You should come join us. Come join us. We've got so much to do. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on the Apple Podcast app and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio, and you can ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future.